Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, just trying to get ready.
Wow.
I mean, we Lysol'd everything.
We're wiping everything down. And can't breathe. But anyway,
it's too clean.
Yeah. But it is Saturday, March 28th, 2020, about 10:05 in the morning. And we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, which we know won't be on for a while, but when there is a sporting event eventually, if there is one, the show is on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available live streaming every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. at our website. So if you go to saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says live streaming, you're all set up. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, go to the Dollar Doctor tab that says chat and archives, click on archives, and all of the shows are there. Also, last but not least, every week there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
Yeah, it's a good reading. They talk about a lot of the uncertainty. And I think this is a time, if you're attempting to make decisions, as we do, obviously for a living, but on your own portfolios, you want to gather as much information as you can. And there's a bit of it there. But a couple of things I would point out just quickly is that the only shocking economic report we've seen so far that has had effect with COVID is the weekly unemployment that just went to 3.3 million. But there is going to be other very dramatic things coming out. So, you know, things that are out there, you know, don't be shocked. And just on a personal note on this COVID, you know, we make little jokes about it and it's not funny, but until it strikes home. So one of my neighbors in Kenmore, a gentleman by the name of Walter Monahan, passed away on Wednesday.
From it, really?
Yeah. I didn't know that he and his wife well. They'd been in the neighborhood for 4 or 5 years. They live in a corner like we do, but not in an area that I'd see all the time. But he's a Vietnam vet. Eucharistic minister at a Catholic church on Main Street, good guy, volunteered, and went to the VA, Pete, 2 weeks ago, got a clean bill of health. He did have COPD. The next day, he had what he thought was a bad cold. Within a week, he was having trouble breathing, and his fingertips were turning purple, meaning he wasn't getting oxygen, rushed to the hospital, and died a week after that.
But at the VA, they said...
No, at the VA, they said he was fine. He went in for a normal checkup.
Right.
And his health was good. The next day...
Oh, it was just a regular checkup.
Right.
They didn't test him for...
No.
Okay.
No, he had no symptoms.
Right.
But the next day, he had a cold. So, you know, this is something that strikes quick. And we've, I mean, I'm wearing gloves. You're wearing a mask and glove. We're just being cautious. That's all. And I'm sorry.
Condolences
to his family. And so he was a very nice man.
And as I was telling you, I think, I was trying to wear a mask, but those are terrible. I mean, in terms of it hurts.
Sure.
And I couldn't leave it on more than 10 minutes. So I want to give a shout out to all those people in the hospitals, the
healthcare
nurses,
workers,
doctors,
yeah.
16 hours they wear those things, I'd be dead.
No, it's amazing. I used to wear them when I cut the lawn until my wife said, you can't continue, because I have allergies. Mm-hmm. So I'd wear that type of mask. So I know you'd perspire, just your breathing alone, the condensation.
Oh, that kills you too, on top of that. But it hurt, you know, I don't, unless it didn't fit right. But anyway,
Well, you're not the toughest guy in the world.
No, that's true, too. And also, you know, I want to, little shout out to the people who are working in supermarkets and
restaurants,
taking care of takeouts for you, that type of thing. A good thing is, and I want to congratulate those companies that are actually helping those workers, you know, like Walmart's increasing their pay. They're doing
Wegmans,
a lot of great things.
I think it's increasing $2 an hour, Walmart $2 an hour.
And even our firm, Saperston Asset Management, little shout out to ourselves, or to Sapperston Asset Management, which has been helping its employees.
Yeah, that's great.
In any way they could.
Yeah, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you. Were you in Monday, and then you've been at home the rest of the week,
right? The rest of the week, right.
Yeah.
So go home.
So people, well, we took a collection. So people.
Because I'm slightly older than you, but anyway. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, okay.
Actually, and physically, and right. culturally. Anyway, okay. So I called Peter because he wasn't in, and I said, "Hey, it's Bronstein. How you doing?" We talked for 5 minutes before he said, "Who is this?" He knew it was from the you knew I was from the right. office, right? But you didn't know who the heck I was.
Exactly.
Oh God.
So anyway,
out of sight, out of mind.
It is a financial show. Okay. You know, phone lines are wide open.
Enough
as
being nice.
Yeah, it's not. It's unusual for me, but anyway, 803-1520, toll free 800-879-7541. That's 803-1520. Or toll free 800-879-7541. Also, if for some reason you don't want to give us a call, although we like to talk to people, but if you don't want to and you'd prefer to use our chat box, you can go to sapperston.com, click on the website that says, what am I doing? Click on the tab that says,
there you go.
Dollar Doctor, and says chat and archives, and just click on that, and right at the bottom of the page is a place to type in a question, type in a symbol, and if you do type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with it. Then you said there's a lot in the chat box. So
it's active, my friend. Yep. It's active. So the first person is looking to buy three stocks. One is QSR, closed at 40.53. That's Restaurant Brands, Pete. As you know.
And let's see, looking to buy it, huh? Boy, had you know, as the market had an unbelievable rally off the bottom, and many stocks, you know, were up 40-50% in a week. It's just unbelievable. You know, it had a great rally, and then on Friday, you know, with the market getting hit a bit on Friday, it pulled back quite a bit. So right now, I'm sure the overhead averages are probably way up there if I looked at that right now and take a quick look.
Yeah, you may want to speak to at some point what volatile markets like this do to technical analysis of stocks.
Well, like I say, for most people, it's been a trading market. And if you were a trader and you were lucky enough to pick last week, say Friday late, and load up on your favorite stocks, you could be out in a week with gains you couldn't make in a year or 2 years. You know,
just, no, it's amazing.
Yeah, just beyond imagination. You know, look at Boeing. It could have got under 100 and got as high as 180 in a week. You know, 80%. You know, during that time span. But anyway, 200 days at 66 and it closed where at.
Which one are you looking at, Pete?
I'm looking.
Oh, 40.53. I'm already way ahead. Right. So I'm way ahead of you.
So you're way below the 200. You know, you got. So, is there anything that you can possibly, if this did some kind of further pullback? And once again, you know, if you've done your own research, there's some real strong reason why you like this company. You know, there's nothing wrong with nibbling. The breakout point and buy signal was at 35. So somewhere between here, or if the market gets hit further next week, you know, anything toward 35 might be a potential buy for it. But, you know, be aware, you know, you are taking a risk, but, you know, you might be right, and especially if you've really you like the company and you think it's going to come back very well. You know, so anywhere between here and, you know, it's possible it could pull back as far as, say, 35 or 36. And so keep that in mind.
Yeah. You know. I went in Wednesday and for a couple of clients, we bought half positions. I was going to do a third, but I just felt better. So we did half. So we're waiting for another pullback that may or may not come. But that's just something
that's
you got
to problem.
Think.
You don't know. Yeah. You know, everybody's talking about, oh, there's always a retest. In this market, I don't know if this is it's just an unusual market.
Yeah. You know? You want another one?
And so anyway, if you want to nibble a little, nothing wrong with that. And once again, theoretically, the support should be between 35 and 36. If that got broken, you'd go down for a full retest. test around 26. So keep that all in mind. Right. Of course, there's no real resistance in this stock until at least, oh, I'd say 61. You know, 60, 61.
Yeah. Right, but doesn't that get skewed because of what the volatility of the markets?
I'd have to see.
You want to answer it the way I want him to answer it.
No, so. But all I do know is that in a bear market, you know, of course now, since the market...
Where are we? I'm confused.
Well, here's the thing.
It was bull market, bear market, bull market.
Well, in terms of percentage moves...
In a week.
Technically, it's now a bull market.
Right, you know, that's what I mean.
But all we've had these kind of rallies in extreme bear markets, so who knows? But anyway, what's the next one?
I don't know. No, Aflac, AFL, closed at 35.40. Sold. I had a very small position that I was holding on to in one of the accounts that we wanted to raise some cash. I sold it. So,
did you? Aren't they big in Japan?
Huge, 85% or so.
Their business is in Japan.
85%.
I don't know how that'll impact them.
Yeah.
This one, you know, believe it or not, ran right up in the resistance and got bombed again on Friday. Mm-hmm. It is possible for it to come back down to the 30-31 area, and on a full retest, you know, could come all the way down to 24. So you have to realize that risk. And, you know, a little disappointing that, you know, resistance did hold in this case. You know, it died right there, you know.
Yeah, and they do accident and health insurance. That's their biggest thing in Japan, about 85%. Mm-hmm. You know, they buy that. So there's two ways of looking at that.
Right.
You know, you could have a lot of people that are going to be off on disability or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know. That's could take it's a risk. Hit. So hopefully you're doing your own research.
Very good.
You know, but be aware that, you know, that 42 area or so is a pretty strong resistance. Of course, if it got through that, you'd have a good shot in the, you know, high 40s, maybe even 50. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on both of those. And do one more for him, and then we'll go to the phone.
Okay, yes. Next one is Uber. I think a lot of people have an interest. Closed at 27.28. A lot of talk about Uber, I believe, is helping out their employees, too. And a lot of these helpful companies are being helpful is over a period of 30 days or so, because they're waiting to see, you know, when we can get back to some type of normalcy.
Yeah, this looks better. You know, no question about that. You know, matter of fact, I tried a put on this with failure. But anyway, you know, it did give a buy signal. Looks like around 24. It's not too much higher than that. And, you know, potentially it might get up into the mid-30s, you know. So... looks like an interesting play. We do know, you know, as long as they can keep delivering food and so forth, and people are doing a lot of takeout, you know, it can work very well for them.
Gotcha.
So, you know, so that could be interesting. Certainly, you know, support should be around 23, 24, somewhere in that area.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go to John in Lancaster. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Peter. David, how are you today?
Okay,
good, sir.
Thank
how
you.
Are you?
Great. Yeah, I'd like to give a shout-out to Victor from Amherst. I took his advice in a couple stocks.
Okay.
And I did. I sold puts on Delta and Live Nation.
Beautiful.
And actually, it was put to me last Friday, the stock.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Delta was. I hit a strike price of 25. And it was put to me, it went down as low as 21 on Friday. It was put to me at 25.
And now?
29.55 on the close.
Well, I sold it on Wednesday at around 32.
Beautiful, oh, beautiful move. Beautiful
Yay.
Move.
Can we clap?
And you probably got a, you know, with this volatility, selling puts, the, you know, what you're getting as a premium is great. You know, no question
right.
about it. So.
So I got greedy, so I wrote another Delta sell put this yesterday
mm-hmm.
for 21 for this Friday.
Mm. Okay, very interesting.
And I still think, you know, with the airline, the money from the government helping airlines, I can't see them really going terribly lower.
Nope.
Nope. Kiss of death.
well, that's why we play the market.
That's right. Yeah.
Just kidding.
And one more I did.
Right.
One more I did. I feel pretty confident about this. I sold a put on AT&T
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
At what price?
Excuse me.
Pardon me?
At what price did you sell it, you know, for what strike?
28.5 mm-hmm. strike price for this Friday again, next Friday.
Close at 29.84.
Yeah, and I feel strongly about the communications stocks that are, I think they're a pretty stable position here in this environment.
Well, it's interesting. It came down the support in the 27 area, and, you know, it held and it bounced off that, so that's encouraging. And also, you know, you should only be selling puts on stocks you don't mind getting
right,
put to,
exactly.
You know, so.
And that's, I don't mind owning AT&T or Delta at this time.
Well, there you go. That's the major thing. So you're doing it right. It's a great time for selling puts because of the volatility and the tremendous premiums. And as I found out badly, it is not a good time to buy calls, because what can happen with calls because of the volatility, what happens to you is there's a volatility crush. And if the implied volatility goes down, your stock could go up, but you could lose money. Because,
right.
It's not good.
And of course, you're paying a premium when you buy a call.
Exactly, and that premium can disappear in an hour. You know, it's just unbelievable. So anyway.
The only thing I do is I sell calls, which is far more conservative.
Yeah, and once again, in this environment, it's much better.
And I would just say... $2 trillion. Hard to wrap my mind around that.
Well, that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning.
Well, they're already talking phase four.
They're
so
phase four.
At least they're trying to get out in front of it. So.
Yeah, well, don't forget, that money is just to prop up the businesses, really. You know,
and
so,
individuals.
Yeah, to a certain extent, you know, but mainly to try to keep people in business, which helps individuals who remain. You know,
and I'll tell you, there's, you know, maybe because we watch it all the time or live it, but I've talked to a couple of clients, small business owners, that had no idea this was going on.
Oh, a lot of people. Just unbelievable. Yeah.
Really?
Some, some.
Yeah, hard to believe, but true. Yeah. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see when the rest of the money comes pouring out what effect it all has. I have people saying it's going to be deflationary, it's going to be inflationary. So who knows? You know,
it could be. One maybe last thing is mixed messages here, trying to open up the economy in 2 weeks by Easter, but giving out all this money for just a short period of time.
Well, he walked back that comment.
Well, hopefully he walked that back.
No, he did. He said. Okay. Yeah, he said he was a little bit too. You know, whatever.
Oh yeah, no question.
Yeah.
You know, because I was going to say, if he had, you know, any chance to be reelected and he opened it up that soon and a bunch of people died, that would be the end, you know. So
he's trying to be the cheerleader,
right.
Doing it just, but he learned. But there are certain states, certain areas of the country where this is not prevalent. So, you know, he can always say, and I'm sure that's what the rationale was. Well, I'm talking about, you know, Midwest or something.
Right. Who knows? But anyway,
I can't wait for it to get back to normal. I don't know what that is, though, because.
Yeah, who knows these days?
But I don't know. I haven't hugged anybody in a while, anyway.
No. And maybe one positive comment here. I am very proud of maybe the United States and the rest of the world. I have not read about any rioting, any civil unrest, or anything of that sort in any areas about these lockdowns.
Yeah, exactly. It's been amazing, really.
And people have been very orderly and compliant, which is
John,
great.
We have guns.
What?
Listen. Yeah. I appreciate you.
No, there have been some scams, though. You have to be careful. There's been a number of emails and people going house to house to the elderly saying they're with the Center for Disease Control and that you really got to talk to your elderly friends, neighbors, relatives, and let them know that these things aren't true. So got to be careful.
The scammers will always be there.
Yes, no question.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Well, we appreciate the call. And
thank you.
Glad
and
to hear
luck.
Your strategies are working well there.
Hope Victor feels good.
Once again, thanks. thanks to Victor. All
right. Okay. I'm sure hopefully he'll be on later.
He accepts cash and gift cards.
Right. Well, I will send him a check.
Okay.
Checks in the mail.
Wherever he is.
There you go.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, John.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Okay, right now, phone lines wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Give us a call. Or you can go to our chat box at sapperston.com.
We're loaded.
Really?
Yeah.
Dollar Doctor tab says chat and archives. Just click on it, go to the bottom of the page, type in a question, type in a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with it. Okay, let's go to the chat.
I'm exhausted.
Chat box,
I'm exhausted. Listening
so am I.
To that thing. Okay. This is a very long one.
I'm still on a high from the Lysol, though I sprayed all over the place. But anyway.
All right. You know, there are. Anyway, we'll talk after.
Right.
Super oil companies for long term stability and dividend stream look like a bottom fishers special right now. I'm actively fishing. Which, I know you're going to love this, which four do you like best for technical and fundamental characteristics?
You're kidding me.
It's going to take the rest of the show.
So I mean, bottom line is you
right.
have
Let me just finish.
Right.
He gave six.
Okay.
I'm no nervous Nelly about accepting risks for return and the ups and downs, volatility of the market. We've heard that before.
Right.
Where's BP Bill? Is he hiding in his bunker or in the stable with his horses and Florida?
That's a good question.
Absolutely. I'm sure he'll call in. Yeah. I have no interest in any oil companies at all. Haven't for 40 years. I just have never been successful. I wouldn't touch them. That's just me. But I know, Pete, you have probably got a couple ideas.
It's interesting. Like, if you look at BP, it got down to 16 and rallied to 25. Mm-hmm. It's like a 50% or more rally, you know. You missed the bottom, no question about a bottom anyway.
Close at 22.35, right?
Yep. And
he quotes some dividends. You got to be really careful with these dividends.
A lot of companies are going to be cutting their dividends, you know, and even if the CEO comes out and says we're going to defend this to the end, you can't believe it.
Right.
You know, I mean,
you
don't know. So you should look at the free cash flow of the company. You know, look that up. Go to FinViz or one of the sites and look at the debt and make sure that the free cash flow is more than the debt, you know, and because that's what they're basically using to pay the dividends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't comment on whose dividend's safe. I think Barron's had an article, which I didn't have a chance to read this weekend, but they had 10 dividend stocks they thought were safe. I don't know if any oil companies were in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, that's one thing. So I'd be careful. I was watching part of a webinar on the computer this morning, and one guy, whether true or not, he says, you know, you go by relative performance and some measures he goes by, and he said the one group he'd stay away from are the oil companies, you know. So
did they spell my name right? Did you recognize my voice?
Well, there you go. But the other thing, too, with that is that who knows if they come to an agreement on oil prices. You know, Russia's already saying that maybe if everybody else will go along with it, you know, they will do something. So who knows? You know, the news is going to be back and forth. So, you know, make sure you look into every one of these companies in terms of anything you can find about their ability to sustain their dividend and not cut their dividends, you know.
Okay. Jenna, somebody was on the chat box last week. We couldn't get to them. They're on again today, so I'm going to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
Jump in front. Somebody want to know, how about a buy for M&T Bank? How safe is the dividend?
So, well, see, once again, we don't
107.29.
Yeah,
we don't know. I want you to take your advice and go do some research, or you can obviously call.
Yeah, no question.
Office,
yeah, or, you know, I would say that your safest dividends for the banks are the ones who do a lot of trading, okay? And they're involved in making money from trading or from accounts, you know, and this type of thing.
So you're talking like J.P. Morgan.
Morgan Stanley, right. Goldman Sachs,
right.
You know. I heard somebody say that they're making tons of money from that area right now. And, you know, so those to me would be the safest, you know, the people who are involved. I don't know whether I don't think does M&T Bank do any of that? I have any idea. I'd look into that to see if they have it as a backstop. It had quite a rally. And definitely, not definitely, but at least you do have, for what it's worth, a steepening of the yield curve. And, you know, that's a possible good sign. You know, it got as low as what, 88, it looks like?
It was lower than that, I think.
Was it really?
I think it was 75.
Oh, really? Let me just see. No, it looks like 88.
Okay, could have been. I'm thinking
of something. Yeah, 88's the low, and now it closed at what,
107.
Yeah. 29. So, you know it's in resistance, but gave a short-term buy signal. Once again, if you're going to do any of these, and I could be wrong, believe it or not, but I would agree with David, which is hard to believe, but I would never put not everything I want to put in it. At one time, hold a little back and see. If it takes off and just goes, fine. You got somewhat of a position in it, and you can determine later on a pullback if you want to buy it. But I'd still prefer either buy a little and then buy a little more on a pullback, And so I would, or if you're very conservative, I'd wait for a pullback. But it did give a short-term buy. It is in resistance, so I would tend to say if it could go to 114. If it went to 114, that'd be a nicer breakout, which could get it up to probably looks like about the 140 area or so. And, the risk obviously is on some kind of a retest toward 88, so just be aware of that.
Okay. We had Lucas tell us. Julia called in. She's not on. She couldn't hold on the phone, but she had a question. I can't read it all there, so get some airtime.
Julia asked, how are senior citizens with pensions and Social Security benefits, are they affected at all, or how are they affected by the stimulus package that was just passed, if you guys know?
Well, I don't know for sure. Do you know?
No, I don't know for sure, but I believe it's based on 2018 income. And they're going to use the 2018 income tax return. So
for what?
For the stimulus package to get the $1,200.
I think it's 2018 if you didn't file 2019.
No, yes. I didn't hear that. That was what they had talked about the week before, but they did not clarify, at least the reports I saw. But somebody like my mother, who's low income, elderly, doesn't file taxes, I don't know if that person's eligible.
Yeah, but what are you talking about? For what? For the $1,200?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not, but she's...
You don't need to read the monitor.
She's asking about Social Security. As far as I know, there's no...
How it affects if you're on Social Security.
Oh.
How it affects.
If you get a pension and Social Security.
I understood, Lucas.
Okay.
It's a Lysol. I'm telling you, it's a Lysol. He's not used to the alcohol.
Well, there you go.
Okay. But we don't know exactly.
Right.
It's a good question, but, if you're on Social Security and you filed an income tax return, you would be eligible for it. I don't know for the people
if that's what she's asking, which I don't know, right?
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know totally, what way are you looking at how it would affect them.
Okay.
All right. Right now we're going to go to Vic. Good morning in Amherst. Oh, hey, did you hear the caller shouting out to you there?
Yeah, tread lightly, boys. Tread lightly.
You're so modest.
Tread lightly, huh?
I tread lightly.
Got to.
Pete, opinion, please. Mm-hmm. You think we're going to retest prior low on the Dow, in your opinion?
Well, obviously, you don't have to go all the way back, to that low. That people have brought up different cases, where I think in 87 it didn't go all the way back. Other times it went back and a little bit lower. And of course, as we know, in the Great Depression, that was a different story, But I think there will be some pullback toward that low, whether it's going to go all the way back, make another new low before ready to turn around, I don't know. I have no idea. But I think there will be some pullback, toward the low.
See, and the reason why I asked, someone sitting on cash, I got a little bit on the sideline here, and wanting the dollar cost average back in the market, you could sell the diamonds, the DIA, the 190s, and there's some good premium on there. Collect some premium, or if it skirts back, that'd give you the perfect entry point to get back in if you want to scale up on, going back on the upside.
Okay, so you're saying sell a put on the diamonds there?
Well, yeah, sell a put on the diamonds, DIA. The premiums are actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Going out two to three weeks, and then if you get it, if you hit your strike, you could always keep rolling down. But if you want to jump in, it gives you, you're collecting money while waiting for an entry point if you want to scale back into the market. Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
That's a great strategy. I would agree. And and also, I just can't believe the spreads between the bid and ask prices on options,
Yeah, I always put it right in the middle.
Yeah, that's
put
what,
it right in the middle, yeah. And it's, I always do days.
Well, it's interesting, they have a law there that they can, that the market makers can either show your price, that you put in, or if they don't show your price, they have to honor it at that price, So, very interesting.
Yeah, I was always under the assumption that, say it's a 40, 50, 40 cent, 50 cent.
Mm-hmm.
If you put it in, this happened to me on a company that I wanted to sell a put on. It was 40 to 50 to spread.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in at 45, come back 2 hours later, hasn't been taken, and they bumped the spread up to 50, 60.
Right. Yep.
But what I did last week, there was one I really wanted. It was same example, 40-50. I just put it in at 40, and my understanding with E-Trade is they have to take it. I got 10 at 40.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the bid was 40. Yeah, that makes sense.
I didn't want to play around for five cents.
I really liked
the play, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to take the chance that they were going to play a number. I mean, I said I'm just going to take this thing and collect the, collect the 40.
Yeah, because somebody who's also, one of the sites I follow and does a lot of that, that's what they say. Put it in, but only give it so many minutes or so, and if you don't get it, change it,
One chart, if you guys would look at,
mm-hmm.
BNS, Bank of Nova Scotia, these Canadian banks have been hit. And I'll tell you, their balance sheets are pristine, and the dividend that Bank of Nova Scotia is paying at this price is kind of, if somebody's looking for some income, either the common or even as crazy as it may sound, even the premium on some BMS underside puts aren't even bad, and they're never like that.
Yeah, because I'm looking at a long-term chart, and the previous bottom was in the 36 level, and it actually took that out, and now rallied back above it. Now it's pulling back again. So what kind of strike, if you were doing a put, would you do?
36. What's it in now? I didn't look at it.
38.74, but I got a 52-week low of 31.94,
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah, no, okay. I'm saying 36 was back in 2000, 2000, whatever,
I'm
14.
What's the div? The div has got to be
7%.
How much?
7.
Unbelievable. I mean, Bank of Nova Scotia with a 7% div, if you do the angle of selling puts until you like the price, I think it's a nice play. That's all I'm saying.
Very interesting. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, guys, great show. Thank you.
Well, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Okay, if everybody will wait, no, it's one caller, but there's a lot in the chat box, I guess. But but we'll take a quick 1 minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors every Saturday morning live from 10 to 11. Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Phone lines to call, which are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And you said there's, what, a number on the chat box? We'll get to those after we talk to Art in New Jersey.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. It's nice to talk to you during the week. I enjoyed our call.
Mm-hmm.
I have one question and two comments. On the question, what is the difference of the association between the Federal Reserve and the Treasury as far as authorizing payments and trying to keep the money flow going? I see one is saying that they got the interest rates of Fed down to zero, and the Treasury, do they authorize these payments or the Federal Reserve makes payments?
So
how does that work?
The Federal Reserve, their job is to keep inflation under control and have full employment. End of story. Mm-hmm. So they don't have as many arrows in the quiver, so to speak, as the Treasury might, but the Treasury then also has certain requirements. That's a very bad explanation, but
well,
you know, they work together in this case when there's a tough situation. So
right, I understand the Federal Reserve can buy Treasury notes, they say, or Treasury bonds.
Yeah, which they do all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, does that? What do they do with that? Where do they get the money to buy these?
They print it.
They print it.
The Treasury
Federal
prints
Reserve
it.
Prints it.
Yeah. So they're okay. doing this in order to add liquidity. So, you know, in 8 and 9, one of the problems with the financial crisis, there was no liquidity. The banks cut lines of credit, individual and corporate, and now they're putting a lot of money in. When they did quantitative easing, which was a huge deal in 8 and 9, they did $60 billion a month buying those different types of issues. They're now doing $75 billion a day. So that's a pretty big difference.
Yes, yes.
So they're really providing liquidity.
That's a good explanation.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks.
two comments. One is my bank now is requiring, in order to go inside and make a deposit, you have to call and make an appointment.
Two weeks ago
when I went, they just had the front door locked, and they recognized me and let me in. But now people are even going in with masks. And the odd
thing is... That's Peter. He's going in. He's got a mask. He looks like he's going to
rob the place. I'm wearing it right now.
Yeah,
right. But the odd thing was with this bank, they had signs up up to a couple months ago, you couldn't wear a hat and you couldn't wear sunglasses because you wouldn't be picked up by the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're allowing people walking in with masks.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's amazing. But you can always go through the drive-thru. Use the drive-through teller. Right.
Yeah, but they limit like $500 to the amount you can cash on the checks through the drive-in.
Really?
The other item I just mentioned, during watching CNBC part of the day while I'm reading, I noticed that the very little contact between the people, the N brothers, who are big in options, selling calls and putting puts, it's mainly the people in their stocks, buying and selling and investments.
Right. Mm-hmm. The moderators, the hosts, are social distancing and working from their homes.
Yeah,
right.
Well, is that, and also, once again, playing with options, they're so ridiculous right now.
Mm-hmm.
The premiums, the spreads, I mean, normally some options that would trade with a 10-cent spread are trading with $4 bids between the bid and the ask, you know.
Right, right.
So, only people who really understand options, and I'm not one of them totally, I probably know a little, which is dangerous,
Very dangerous,
but anyway.
I don't do them.
But I do know, you know, that a lot of sites, and they use more complicated strategies, which are a lot safer now, which are spreads and iron condors
alligators.
And butterflies and who knows?
Right.
You can look all that up, you know.
Sure.
But playing around with straight options, other than the people who are selling puts and so forth, buying options is very difficult, you know.
Right. I take it to the same measure as the person that comes on for Betfair Casino and tells you how he made $100,000 and he had to scream and wake the whole family up to tell him.
Well.
that's the same as options for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, options, yeah. It can be good if you know what you're doing, you know.
Right, right. Well, it's wonderful. I guess you got my, I'm on the chat box, too. I guess you got that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank
Very
you.
Nice.
Yeah. Appreciate
yeah.
it.
Enjoy the show.
All right.
Stay well for everybody.
All right. Thanks. Stay safe.
Bye.
Good to talk to
we'll,
you.
And we'll go to the chat box real quickly.
Okay. Boeing. Yeah. Somebody wanted to ask about Boeing. It was down to 130 this week. It was actually below 100.
It was below 100.
And I didn't buy. I think it'll go lower, Where should I set my good till canceled buy order to get in on a reasonable price? Can't see Trump and Politico's letting it go under. It is, capital letters, the aerospace industry with its hundreds of suppliers, probably thousands, and its global export market role.
Well, I was worried about, you know, were they going to do what they did to General Motors back in 2008, which was, you know, take a stake in the company after they declared bankruptcy. So they had to declare bankruptcy. The stockholders lost everything. And then they reissued the stock and issued stock to the government. And I thought there was a possibility, you know, that that might happen. And I don't know if that's still totally out of the question.
I think it is. I disagree. But you know, I bought it this week. I bought a half a position.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Right, and at these levels. It went up to 190 and change. I was like, oh, that great, you know, for a couple of days.
But I was listening once again on a webinar this morning, and, yeah, and the person said that historically, when the government gets involved and takes a stake in a company, they don't tend to be the secular leaders coming.
Right. Well, they haven't done any of that yet. Right. That's being proposed.
Right. Yeah. But they say those stocks where they've taken in that the position supposedly are not the secular leaders, but who knows? I don't know if that's true or not.
Gather your information and make your decision.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, in looking at Boeing, let's see, did it break any moving averages? Probably not. And the 50-day is still up at 268. You know, the pullback.
It did reach resistance. What's that, 20-day, Pete?
Well, it might have been a 20-day. Yeah. Might have been a 20-day, yeah. But, I mean, if you look at it, the low was around 89.90.
Yeah.
Doubled. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, don't all the stocks we look at do that if we don't buy them?
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Usually. You know, and I would say that, you know, probably at least a one-third pullback at a minimum. So 90 to, say, 90 points, 96 points, one-third is what, 32? 32 would put it around about where it is right now.
Oh,
so if I was going to nibble, I might buy a little like David did. A one-half retracement would be what? 96, 48, 138, right?
Okay. Anyway.
So 138 is another possibility that it could pull all the way back to, you know, so be aware of that, you know. And then you have to watch what the government's doing, you know, that's another thing. But
we're watching.
Right around here, a little nibbling maybe, and, you know, and then if it did drop down to that 138 area a little bit more and then sit back.
Okay,
we're going to go to Dreamer. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter and David.
Good morning, sir.
Answer to that person's question, if you're on Social Security, you will get $1,200.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Well, would you want to piss off 65 million people, potential voters?
No, but anyway.
So... No, that question's been circulating recently.
Yeah, just to let you know, too, we have to move along pretty quickly because we have a lot on the chat, a couple on the phone.
Okay, well, goodbye.
That was it? Hi-ho gold, right?
Way to go, Peter's Mr. Warmth.
But anyway, I just wanted to let you know this is rare, but we're busy. But anyway,
way to go, Bob. Way to go, Pete. He got the clue.
Anyway, gold recovered much more than silver.
Oh, he's trying to be nice.
Oh, let me tell you real quick about silver. Yeah. Last week, you couldn't find any.
Physical silver.
There was no silver to be available. It's trickling in right now, and if you buy physical silver, some of it costs as high as $28 an ounce.
And it's only trading at what, 14, 15?
1470, something like that.
Boy, unbelievable. Hmm. Yep.
So, anyways, have a wonderful day, guys.
All right, thank you for the anyways.
Don't take it personally.
I appreciate that. Take
Bye.
Care. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go next to Craig in the pew. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Okay.
Having just a ride.
Yeah. Living the dream, as they say. But anyway.
Question about a stock and a question about our currency as well. Then.
Mm-hmm.
First things first, the stock is Tandem Diabetics. I've got a position in at 24. You guys probably follow it somewhat. It ran up over the last couple of years to 90, and now I think it's yesterday finished around 66.
What's the symbol?
TNDM.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Camden.
Yeah, I said
Tandem.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know either one.
Yeah,
of them,
I know. Yeah, well, Tandem, yeah, I know. You're right. Yeah, we both heard Camden, so don't place an order with us.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, was it 68.41?
Yeah, and, you know, it did it really after getting up to 70, so would it pull back, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, you have the 200-day at 65, which is encouraging that it took, would you say it closed that?
68.41.
Yeah, so it closed above the 200-day, yeah. So I'd like to see it hold in that area of the 200-day.
Okay.
And so pulling back, it's pulling back toward that. So watch it around that level. You might have a buy point here. If not, the you know real support would be 59.60.
Are you looking to buy more, or are you just sorry you didn't sell, obviously, right?
Possibly, you know, yeah. when it hit 90, of course. As it
oh, why would you sell, right? It's
yeah.
90.
I'm sorry?
I said, why would you sell? Everything was great. Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah. And as it started coming down, I once it dropped below 50, I really started getting nervous.
Oh, but, yeah.
I didn't pull the trigger, and I'm glad I didn't, obviously.
Oh, of course, sure.
Pretty well.
Yeah, and for this work, for what it's worth or not, you know, the price objective based on the point and figure methods back, you know, near the high 86. So,
okay.
So I would tend to hold. I would love to see, you know, the general 65 area hold. That would be very, very bullish. But if not, you know, 59.60 would be next support.
Okay. Question two about our currency. You guys know our. The dollar is the world's reserve currency, but what's the implications for us as a country as a whole and the people of this country if we lose that status one day? My understanding is the British pound 100 years ago, I think, was the last country whose currency was the reserve, the world's reserve currency, and before that, Portugal and I believe Spain.
Yeah, it just it keeps going every so many
hundred
years or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we're I think we're bumping up against that 100-year clock.
Well, that's true, but I've heard people say that they're going to go for a world currency or something, and they think this crisis might hasten that. You know, I don't know if that's the case.
There's just no way.
But I have a feeling
that for a world currency.
I mean, so much depends on the dollar right now. I think we're okay for a while longer, to tell you the truth. So.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
You know, would we? You know, worst case scenario, would we in any way somehow use our military to defend that status and? You know, back to if we lose that status, what happens to the value overall of our investments?
Well, I don't think we're going to be here alive when those
things happen.
But
right.
I'm forever the optimist,
right.
But I just don't see it. Look at the way these countries are handling this stuff. So anyway, but I don't think you got to worry about it.
But don't have an answer, but something to think about.
Okay.
All right.
You enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Okay,
stay
you
safe.
Too. Thank you
Good
very
luck
much.
With that
okay,
stock.
Take care. Okay, we're going to go next to Jack in Lockport. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jack. How are you?
Oh, I'm fair today.
We'll say. You doing video chats for school or what?
Yeah, actually, not video chat. Well, yeah, for our conferences. We have our departmental meetings on the video, and then the rest we're sending to their students through the internet, lessons and so on. Yeah,
that's great.
So, I'm doing, of course, a lot of reading on different things, and I read something from Zacks. About
research.
To talk about, and I kind of like oil companies, but they're talking about there might be real good buys, and they're talking about four, but they're all none of them are domestic. They're talking about Total, BP, Royal Dutch Shell, and there's another one, and they said they haven't cut their dividends since 1956.
Got it.
So they thought their dividends would still be safe, and at the prices, it would be a good bargain. So I just wanted to mention that.
I appreciate that.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. But I want you to tell me about Enbridge. Edward Nancy Black, ENB.
Mm-hmm. So you noticed we're having problem hearing, obviously. Okay.
One of us is.
Okay. And that's a Canadian pipeline mm-hmm. company. Mm-hmm. They are paying about about 8.5%. I'm not sure what it is now. They have a cash reserve where they're paying about 2/3 for the dividend. So they
it's
have
865 good, right now, Jack.
865.
Yeah, 27.74 in the close. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think about this company?
Well, I think you have an interesting bottom fisher there. You know, it took out the low. You know, back in 2000, looks like 16. Now it's back above that low. It's at resistance right now at 30.
Okay.
So if it hit 31, that would be a very good sign. And, you know, could go up at least to the mid-30s. And possibly, if it took that out, you know, back to the old area around the low 40s. And, you know, your risk is back to, you know, 23, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is a resistance area. So if it hits 31, that would be pretty good confirmation that it could be on its way back up at least to the mid-30s, if not higher. You know?
Okay. Yeah, they're a company. They've paid a dividend since, 65 years they haven't missed a dividend. So it might not be as high, percentage-wise all
right.
the time, but they're, you know, steady. So it seemed like a decent company.
Yeah, and the 200-day moving average is at 36. So.
It is 36.
Yep,
okay.
Right. Yep.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you
all
for
right.
the call.
Hey,
appreciate
have a great
it.
Weekend. Stay
okay.
safe.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye now.
Okay.
Chat box.
Yep.
Okay, somebody's asking, I'm trying to do generically, somebody's asking about airline. Which airline would you currently invest in? Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, fundamentally, I would have to say you'd have to look into all of those companies, you know, and see how well, you know, obviously the government's holding them up. I have a feeling, could be wrong, I don't think people are going to hop back on planes immediately when this is supposedly over.
Yeah, I disagree.
And he thinks, oh, everybody just can't wait to fly again. But who knows? You know,
yeah, but I think you look at United and Delta, big ones. A lot of people talking American because they're so cheap. I think there's better plays out there, but that's just me.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, I don't know who are just mainly domestic airlines, you know, JetBlue.
Yeah.
Who else? Who else is Southwest?
Northwest, yeah. I was thinking.
So you may look into, you're going to have to do your own research, as we always say, into those, but, you know, right. I'd probably
There's
take
a look. There's a lot of comments about them, Pete, out there you can find.
Yeah, and I'd probably take a look at Southwest, you know, and see what position they're in.
LUV, I don't know what's
right.
Close
so, anyway.
And then somebody wanted to know what mortgage-backed securities were, but we'll have to talk about that next week, won't we?
That's a long story.
Yeah.
But if you do want to know, I mean, we hate to say, you could Google it, you know, what mortgage-backed securities are. Just don't have time.
Yeah, we'll bring it
up. The name basically explains it. They're backed by mortgages, you know. But anyway,
but
next week, you know, we can say more. So, you know, we always say keep a little powder dry. You know, keep available for opportunities. Personally, I think you shouldn't just jump in, but could be wrong. But you can nibble at companies you've done your research into, companies you always wanted to own. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if the market does a retest or not. So till next week, be safe, take care.
Have a good weekend.